The epistle appointed to be read for this, the Sunday within the octave of the Feast of the Nativity. Even though today is the Feast of the Holy Innocents, we read this gospel and epistle. It is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Brethren, as long as the heir is a child, he differs in no way from a slave, though he be the master of all. But he is under guardians and stewards until the time set by his father. So we too, when we were children, were enslaved under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So that he is no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, an heir also through God. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Joseph and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were marveling at the things spoken concerning him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and for the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign that shall be contradicted. And thy own soul a sword shall pierce, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. There was also Anna, a prophetess, daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years from her maidenhood, and by herself as a widow, 84 years. She never left the temple, with fastings and prayers, worshiping night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give praise to the Lord, and spoke of him to all who were awaiting the redemption of Israel. And when they had fulfilled all things prescribed in the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, into their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was full of wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Thus far this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, there are some things that I would like to bring to your attention out of the bulletin this morning. And of course, the first and the most important is that Thursday of this week, of course, is New Year's Day and is a holy day of obligation. And the masses in this chapel on that day are at 6 and 10, at 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. only. Well, I'll leave it be. That seems to be a difference of opinion, but I will not disturb the bulletin. The bulletin says 6 and 10, so let it be 6 and 10. Friday, we will not have the usual this week because of the holiday and the holy day. We will not have the usual days of adoration. They will be transferred to the following week. Now, in this bulletin today, we have, as most of us know already, by virtue of the practice, the blessing of the homes for the Feast of the Epiphany. And if you will, be sure and keep these bulletins today, this bulletin, so that when the day arrives, the Feast of the Epiphany itself, that we will know what to do. All things being equal, we will have ordination to the subdiaconate on Saturday, January the 10th. And I ask you to pray for the two young men that are going to be ordained subdeacons on that day, as I also ask you to please pray for the bishop and pray that he stays in good health and that we all stay in good health. And this is a very serious thing, because some of these priests have become men of very great age. And during this past week, we received notice here of a certain very prominent older priest who did give us a little jerk during the week. But please God, I think that he is going to be all right. But pray for the old priests and for priests in general, that God will keep his blessing upon us. Now a word about confirmation. Please see if your name is on the list. If it is not on the list and it is supposed to be on the list, notify me immediately so that it can be corrected. On the day of confirmation itself, there will be a table someplace in the middle here. And on that table, there will be some little cards about this big, little gray cards. And they will ask for certain bits of information, your name, of course, and so on. But the most important thing that goes on the card is the name of the saint that you intend to take on as your confirmation name. Be sure that name is printed in good, plain letters so that it can be read easily. So, study out a name. Don't just pick out a name willy-nilly, but pick out the saint that you wish to follow you along in life because of your confirmation, and take on such a name as that. Now, this, of course, will be added on to your list of names. Some of you have got two or three names. That's all right. You've got that many saints to look after you. Now, the men will proceed to confirmation on this side of the communion, on that side of the aisle, the ladies on this side. And the older folks, please just let the little children come up first. And all the men over there and all the ladies over here. And of course, the two sponsors will be up at the communion rail, and they will place hands on the ones that are being confirmed. Please understand that it would be utterly impossible for us to have individual sponsors for individual people. There would be pandemonium in the church if we did that. So there's only one way to do this, and that is to have one sponsor for the men and one sponsor for the ladies. And just proceed up here to the bishop. The bishop will be in the neighborhood there convenient, and he will perform the sacrament of the sacrament of confirmation. May you live anciently to keep from having to receive the sacrament of extra unction. So, my beloved people, that's pretty much what the way will be. Very simple and very lovely and very important. Today, or rather during this week, we will begin a new moment in our lives. Many of us will attempt, as we all always do, to make resolutions. We're not going to do this, we are going to do that, and it goes on and on and on and on. And after two or three days, the resolutions are all gone with the wind. So let us not bog ourselves down with these useless promises. But rather, let us go back rather than forward in this time, and for this instant, let us go back and look back to see during this past year, what have we done that has been a problem? How far along are we in the spiritual life? I was talking to this older priest that I was telling you about a while ago that is not feeling well. And of all things, he's from another section of the country, the western section of the country. Of all things, he pointed out to me that the biggest problem today with us, even in the traditional ranks of the Catholics, is that we do not understand, comprehend, or follow any form of the spiritual life. That's an awful thing to say. That's a pretty bad thing to say, that we are unfamiliar with the spiritual life. My beloved people, in our here, we make every effort to bring forth the spiritual life. And it is only by looking into the spiritual life that we will find that fulfillment that we so earnestly look for. And as we look back on the year past, on the time past, and we look forward to the time ahead of us, let us try, above all things, to correct that which disturbs us now as we look back. What about our pride? What have we done about our pride? Have we tried to conquer it? Or have we been as impatient and as incompassionate with those around us as we've always been? Where do we list ourselves when looking at our fellow man? Where are we on this level? Do we place ourselves even as our fellow man's equal? That's a good point, I think. Do we place ourselves on our fellow man's equal, to say nothing of his superiority or inferiority? My beloved people, we are not good enough to be our fellow man's equal. Are we? But for the grace of God, where on earth would we be? And for the grace of God, what on earth would we be doing? We are not really good enough to be our fellow man's equal, much less our fellow man's superior. Would to heaven that Almighty God will judge us a lot more easily than we judge our fellow man. If Almighty God were to judge us in the same way That we judge our fellow man. I dare say there would be few people, souls, to enter heaven. Is this not true? Therefore, let us not get into the process of judging. It is not for me to judge anybody, anybody at all. Judgment rests only with God. I have so much to worry about me. That it ill behooves me to be concerned about anybody else spiritually. Therefore, my beloved people, let us not sear ourselves with judgment of others. Let us not worry about, let's pray, yes, if we see something that is wrong that is taking place, keep your mouths shut and pray for that person. Pray to God for that person's safety and sanctity and holiness. By all means. Other than that, silence. No matter. And that takes care of pride. What about impatience? How patient are we in our family circle or any place, in the marketplace or wherever? How patient are we with those around us? Or do we continue to make ourselves utterly impossible to live with? Our bad habits of bad thoughts and such like, how careful are we? How truly, sincerely, conscientiously careful are we to turn our eyes away, to turn our minds away from that which we know is not for us? These are but some of the things that we need to be attentive to as we enter into a new year. To say that we're not going to lose our patience, we're not going to be proud anymore, we're not going to get bad pictures anymore, we're not going to do the other thing anymore, and so on. It goes on and on and on and on ad infinitum. It is utterly ridiculous. Because the first time a bad picture comes traveling in front of us, and it will, how determined are we to look away? Or do we take a second look? You know? These are but the little things that only I know about. Nobody else knows about these things. I alone know about these things about me. If we are to save our immortal souls, my beloved people, we had best get serious with the program as we enter into a new year. This is the fourth year of the new millennium. Do you realize that in this church, here, this building, this Christmas, we celebrated Mass on Christmas Day for the 10th time. The 10th time in this building. Life is going by like a bolt of lightning. And we move about as if we've got forever to attend to things. We don't have forever to attend to things. And as this priest again, and as another, and our own Father Michael's father, at Christmas Eve had to be carried to the hospital. Christmas Eve had to be carried to the hospital unexpectedly. This priest was preaching, and he had to be carried off while he was preaching. We do not know the time or the moment or the place, do we? And so it is best to be prepared at all times. As today we speak of Happy New Year, yes, we do mean Happy New Year. Sincerely, we do. But then again, New Year is Christmas and any other day. That's why I stumbled a moment ago about the times of the Masses on New Year's Day. I thought we had Mass at 8 o'clock on that day, but leave it at just what the bulletin says. And the reason why we tamper with the schedule of Masses on New Year's Day, can you guess what for? There's another God that shows up on New Year's Day. And that God may not be violated under any condition. God's name is football. Isn't it? So, our Lord doesn't mind taking second place on such an occasion, provided the people respond. So we leave it at 10 o'clock and hope that that does not interfere too violently with the schedule of the day. I am not a sourpuss, really I'm not. I sound like it and I know it. But really it is a matter of us being aware of our purpose here on earth and us living up to it and being with it as Almighty God would want us to be. You read of all these wonderful apparitions of the Blessed Mother. You read of the appearances of the angels to different ones at different times and places and circumstances. What is the one central thing that is said every single solitary time? It is never a matter of good morning, how are you, glad to see you, etc., and all the other small talk that goes when two people get together. They get right to the point. Peace, prayer, penance, mortification, sacrifice. Prayer, penance, mortification, sacrifice. And over it goes. Never again of how do you feel, I'm so glad to see you. Prayer, penance, mortification, sacrifice, period. These, my beloved people, are the voices that come from heaven. Not at all embellished, not at all dressed up, not at all perfumed. Prayer, penance, mortification, sacrifice for all of us. All of us. And as we face the new year, it is prayer, it is penance, it is mortification, it is sacrifice. I am not the one who invented this. This comes by way of the various voices that come to us from heaven. And I am affected as much as you and anybody else. We are affected. So, God bless you on this occasion. It sounds like a terrible Happy New Year message. But yet, in all of it, even when the angel or the Blessed Mother or whoever appeared, came and gave that message, there was always always, always the element of hope. And so long as we have hope, then, my dearest people, let the message be prayer, penance, mortification, and sacrifice. Who gives a fig about all these pebbles of the earth that we grab unto ourselves, that we will have to leave eventually? Who gives anything a hoot about all the arguments that we get ourselves involved in constantly, but constantly? Who gives a hoot about that when in the last analysis, and even I tell you, my dear priest friend, I'm really working on him today. That's all right, he can handle it. Even priests, when the fear of death touches them, their outlook on everything is changed. Everything. And as I look back, you can see how completely, how totally, how absolutely, how ridiculously unimportant have been all the sanctuaries that I have built around myself. My beloved people. And I blessed you at other times, so I better bless you at the beginning of a new year. May Almighty God, in a moment, will kneel down. We do wish and pray that God's grace and blessing will come and touch every one of us in ways we've never dreamed of. In goodness, in holiness, in peace, in serenity, in hope, and all those, because take those away from us, and what is there that's left? Money? Money? Does money take the place of peace? Does money take the place of hope? And so on? Not a bit. The most miserable people on earth are the ones who have bushels full of money. Isn't that the truth? Therefore, I do not wish you success as the world wants success. I wish you success as saints, because every one of you is called, every one of us, I mustn't forget us, every one of us is called to sanctity. And if we fail in that, we have failed everything. So please kneel, my dearest people.